today on Real Radio.
And it's incumbent upon that non-believer to tolerate the believer, and it's incumbent upon the believer to tolerate the non-believer. This is life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. You know, there's a favorite word these days that's quite commonly used in social settings and in the media quite a bit. We're talking about the word tolerance. But did you know that the word tolerance fits in the category of those words that are being redefined? Now, as Pastor Jack's been pointing out, a lot of folks who think they are tolerant actually misunderstand its true definition and end up being intolerant. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing his series taken from this section of 1 John chapter 4. It's called Living in the Days of Deception.
It has been said in Scripture that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and that word ambassador means one who is sent via delegation out into a hostile country to represent their kingdom, into a hostile country, a hostile nation. Tonight it would be, and I don't even know if we have representatives in Iraq or Iran, I don't know if we can even have them, but let's say that we do, maybe we do. That's the word. To be an ambassador would be an ambassador for the United States in Baghdad. You would be an ambassador in the land of a hostile enemy. That's what the Christian is. We have been deployed into a hostile world. Well, how is that world going to manifest itself against us? All kinds of ways. Bottles, sticks, rocks, guns, mayhem, sometimes words. Sometimes words. And sometimes those words can come via speakers and all, that the word begins to be strung or meshed among the truth to deceive people, the falsehood among truth. We have to be careful about that. And remember last time we talked about Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 3, where Jesus says, I send you out, that is out into the world, as lambs among wolves. What kind of a deal is that? Well, thank God the Holy Spirit dwells within us, as we read in 1 John 4, 4. So the Christian tonight, the Bible-believing Christian, which isn't it sad I just said Bible-believing Christian, the first thing that came to my mind was Waco, just now, Waco. Bible-believing, these were Bible-believing Christians at Waco. How do you like that? Do you like that? Do you appreciate that? Bible-believing, they got, the media's got Bible-believing Christians out to be a bunch of lunatics. Today a man was found reading his Bible, you know. But the Christian worldview, how you view the world through your Bible, is diametrically opposed to the secular worldview that's out there. And the secular worldview is, in all of its vision and action, absolutely hypocritical. It really is. If that offends you, then hang on a second. It's absolutely hypocritical and intellectually dishonest in its belief system, because the world system outside of these walls says, listen, we need to have a world of tolerance. This cry for tolerance is global. It's everywhere. We need to be tolerant. That sounds great. And we should be if we apply the real definition. But watch this. We need to be tolerant. Yes, yes, amen. Are you a Christian? Yes. You are not allowed to open your mouth. Why? Because do you believe in the Bible? Yes. Ah, do you believe that there's only one way to heaven? Yeah. You are not allowed to express that view. Listen, this is what the United States Senate is going to be confronted with in the fall. Because there are some congressmen, there are some senators that have gotten together, and they've picked up this march against the Southern Baptist Convention. Because the Southern Baptists wanted to go up to Chicago in evangelistic outreach. Now, this ought to get your attention, especially in this church. Can you imagine packing up your musical equipment and your Bibles and stuff and getting a team together and going to Stuttgart, Germany? Of course you can. We do it. What about Russia? Yes. What about Moscow? Yes, we've done that. What about England? Of course. What about Mexico? Sure. Chicago? Now, there is possibly, according to the Supreme Court of the United States of America, they have issued notice, they haven't placed them on notice, they just told the Southern Baptist Convention, because you guys wanted to go to Chicago and do evangelistic outreaches, that very movement of yours to do that could be viewed as provoking hate crime activity. This is in the news now, and it's going to come up again this fall. If you share Jesus with somebody because you love them and want them to have the good news of Christ and to know, give them the hope of their sins being forgiven, did you know that you're imposing upon them a hateful view? Did you know that you're doing them harm? Why don't you just pat them on the back and let them go straight down to hell? That's what the devil would love to have you do. See what he's doing? He's using words. He's using politics to quench the truth. And the government is going to be stepping in very, very soon to dictate what issues forth from this pulpit. Don't say I'm blowing it out of proportion, because right now it's happening on Christian radio, and there's lawsuits going on at the Supreme Court regarding Christian radio, because there are ministers that have spoken things that haven't set well with everybody. But what if you stand up for something that is biblical? I tell you, it's going to come down on your head. Now look, I want to make this loud and clear so you're not getting a lopsided picture here. I believe that if somebody wants to practice, do, believe, whatever they want, they have that absolute freedom. I'm going to respect their decision. Will I agree with them? No, I don't have to agree with them. This is the word tolerance. I don't agree with them. But can they exist? Of course. Can we eat, together at Taco Bell? Of course we can. Can we even be friends? Sure. But you see, if we're crying out, be tolerant, in the world's definition, did you know that everybody gets to express their view and they've all got to get along with one another until you mention Jesus? And you mention Jesus, and now you are a right-wing lunatic. You bow your head in prayer at lunch and you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And people are looking at you crazy. What is this? Where are we going in this age of the cry for tolerance? I'd like to read to you what the mayor of this city read this publicly before those in attendance at the National Day of Prayer. This is taken from a student in Arizona. And this is what that student put down on paper. Now I sit me down in school where praying is against the rule. For this great nation under God finds mention of him very odd. If scripture now the class recites, it violates the Bill of Rights. And any time my head I bow becomes a federal matter now. Our hair can be purple, orange, or green. That is no offense. It is a freedom scene. The law is specific. The law is precise. Prayers spoken out loud are a serious vice. For praying in a public hall might offend someone with no faith at all. In silence alone we must meditate. God's name is prohibited by the state. We are allowed to cuss and dress like freaks and pierce our noses, tongues, and cheeks. They have outlawed guns, but first the Bible, to quote the good book, makes me liable. We can elect a pregnant senior queen and the unwed daddy our senior king. It is inappropriate to teach right from wrong. We are taught that such judgments do not belong. We can get our condoms and birth controls, study witchcraft, vampires, and totem poles. But the Ten Commandments are not allowed. No word of God must reach this crowd. It is scary here, I must confess, when chaos reigns, the school's a mess. So, Lord, this silent plea I make, should I be shot, my soul please take. Amen. Isn't that something? I praise the Lord for the mayor reading that publicly. But that is the spirit of what we're talking about. Now, again, the world can believe whatever it wants, but the moment that the world that cries out intolerance and for tolerance says, now the church will do this and not do the other, it is a very, very dangerous time. And I trust that on this Wednesday night service, don't tell Sunday I said this, but Wednesday night people, you guys are reading your Bible, you're in tune, you know what's happening. You know, Sunday people, it's kind of, you're never quite sure. This is the church that's gathered here tonight, you see this stuff happening around, and it certainly alarms us. We're going to be looking at a few things, and by way of remembrance, I'd like to draw to your attention to what we looked at before, and that is this, that we saw last time that tolerance denies the truth of absolutes. It really does. It denies the truth of absolutes. We'll touch on that in a moment. Tolerance demands acceptance by all. Tolerance just demands. This is the modern day definition. It demands acceptance by everybody. You can't question it. And I believe it's an infringement upon freedom. That is this new definition of tolerance. And then thirdly, which we have not yet touched on, is that is tolerance decides what will be tolerated, which of course is a kind of a contradiction. Tolerance is not to decide anything, but to appreciate and to put up with, as we saw in the definition of another view. So the first thing that we look at tonight, by way of review, is tolerance denies the truth of absolutes. When he says, we are of God, that is a very absolute statement. We are of God, he says. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. And you don't have to read that verse very far to come to the conclusion that there's a great divide, there's a great rift. Obviously, the Bible is telling us there are those who believe in the Bible, really believe it, and there are those who do not. And you know that's true. You know that's absolutely true. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy 6:20, a great verse. By the way, some of you who are in school, you want to remember this verse. Paul said, O Timothy, guard that which has been committed to your trust. Avoid profane and vain babbling and contradictions, which is falsely called science. In the Old King James, it's science, or the word is knowledge. That's a great, great verse. Well, why did I bring that up? Because there are absolutes in the natural realm that you cannot deny. Absolutes. You can't breathe underwater without a breathing apparatus. You'll suck water. You will come up quick or you'll die. That's an absolute. Well, I'm going to go scuba. Wait. Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. Where is yours? Oh, I'm just going to try it with my lungs. You'll drown. You need something to do this. Why? There's an absolute out there called the ocean. Well, you know what? I love to fly. I love to fly. And you know what? In my dreams, I have run off of cliffs. Now, I can do that in a dream. But if I ever attempt it outside of a dream, it's not the fall that will kill me. It's the sudden stop. Because I'm not intended to do that. There are absolutes that govern my life. Absolutes. You can argue all you want about them. They're absolute. They're sure. They're not going to go anywhere. They are absolutes. Same thing in the spiritual realm. Same thing. There are absolutes in the spiritual realm that when the word of God goes out, someone, isn't it amazing that someone can be sitting down right next to you and they'll go, this guy's an idiot. This guy teaching, he's an idiot. This book he's quoting, I can't figure out what the thing says. They don't have a clue. And somebody sitting next to them is going, my, the Spirit's really ministering to me, and this is exactly the verse I needed to hear for my dilemma or for my direction or whatever. Isn't that amazing? And you look at they both look at each other like, what's with you? One person is hearing from the Father, the other person is not. It's an absolute. But just because someone in the world doesn't understand your experience with God, they may pick it, kick and cry. It doesn't negate the fact that you have an experience and a relationship with God. And it's incumbent upon that non-believer to tolerate the believer, and it's incumbent upon the believer to tolerate the non-believer. This is life. But when you lose that, you pull out guns and you blow one another away. You have you'll have a Muslim or a Islamic jihad type state. You don't agree with Muhammad? I don't agree with Muhammad. You die. That's the belief. Read it. Read what they believe in. All Christians, all Jews die. This is their gospel. Now, am I going to go out tonight and go, you know, hunt for Muslims? Absolutely not. Will I love them? Absolutely. If I see a Muslim broken down on the freeway, yes, I will help him. I'll give him a track, and I'll help him change his tire, and maybe give him my Bible. But I love him. I don't love him like a family member. I don't love him my pet or whatever. That's different. I love him for Jesus. Jesus loves him. Because Jesus loves him, I love him. Well, what if, you know, what if he was choking and would you give him mouth to mouth? Oh, of course. Would you save his life? Yes. Would you donate blood to him? Yes. But is that reciprocal? It doesn't matter if it is. Because you and I live by a higher, more awesome standard. And that is the tolerance of God, which our enemies, read Romans chapter 12. Anybody in here have any enemies? Listen, our enemies should be the most blessed people on the face of the earth. Did you know that? Our enemies should say, you know what? That's the best enemy I've ever had. That guy right there, he's a Christian. He's the best enemy. I tell you, my life's blessed because he's my enemy. I'm going to keep him my enemy because he blesses me. Think about it. Romans chapter 12 says, if you have an enemy, go bless them. Give them food and water and drink and bring fire to their home. Now, back then, they needed fire in their house. That was a good thing. Can you imagine? You know, no, it's a good thing back then. You bless them. Give money. You bless them. That's Christian tolerance. One of the greatest examples I've seen, you guys all know Justin Alford, Brother Justin. It was probably the late 70s at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. There was a radical group of people that were trying to storm the church, literally. Very scary moment. We were in the, they had this kind of in the bookstore at that moment when this thing happened. And, you know, Justin Alford's no small man. And he was very big back then. And he was standing there right on the curb, I mean, right on the parking lot and the sidewalk where these people were gathered. And this little tiny guy looks at, right, his nose came right in between Justin's chest. And that guy put his finger, and he's just putting his finger right into Justin's chest. And Justin's just standing there. You could see his veins popping out. And you could see him, and he totally just stood there and took it. But not only took it, afterwards, you know, we talked to him. Justin, did you want to kill that guy? He said, I did at the beginning, but then I began to realize how pitiful this man was. I began to pray for him. I tell you, that's the Spirit of God at work. Because, you know, normal situations, we would have acted like a Dodger, you know, in a normal thing. Tolerance denies the truth about absolutes. It doesn't matter what you think, as long as you think it, it's cool. But see, that courtesy is not extended to the Christian. Listen, it's a deception by redefining words. We talked about that last time. We talked about how there's a reappointing of standards regarding this thing of tolerance. This thing of tolerance when a child comes up, you know, even though they'd be maybe a junior or a senior in high school, and they come up and they say, you know, teacher, 4 plus 4, I just come up with a number 6. That's okay. You tried. You know, that's fine. And, you know, I guess that's fine for them, but don't put that kid in an engineering department, you know, where I work. You could get hurt. But, you know, you tried. And this is the evil side, or one of the evil sides, again, of this thing of a modern-day tolerance. There are no absolutes. We can tolerate whatever's brought up because everything, we're just all one big family. It's okay, and you're very sincere about it. So 4 to you plus 4, that's fine if it's 6. It's terrible. This nation, this world once had a standard that we used to crawl up and sweat and stay up all night studying manuals and books just to get a B. But what happens when people are lazy and they're not applying themselves and they're using all kinds of excuses? I can't, you know, because, you know, my whatever. You know, if you're a society that's bent on excuses, you know what you got to do after a while? If enough people believe that kind of a story, you know what you got to do? You got to lower the standards. And then you give them a higher grade, and they, oh, look what I did. You didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. I tell you, I've seen this firsthand. You go to Germany, and you see the students, the seventh grade students in Germany doing college, U.S. college level math, seventh grade. I was so embarrassed. Sad. It's sad. But that's just on the physical side, let alone the spiritual side of things. The second thing that we see in this, tolerance denies the truth of absolutes, but also tolerance demands acceptance by all. It demands acceptance by all. And we touched on this last time in that I personally, I know other ministers that do, they get invitations to gather with various faiths to pray. And that sounds very nice, but my Old and New Testament is very clear about those kinds of practices, that you're not to do that. You're praying to strange fire. You're conversing with strange gods. For example, again, I will tolerate the Hindu. I love the Hindu. I don't understand him, but I love him and I'll tolerate him. And I mean it by biblical toleration, okay? Which is, he's going to be a blessed Hindu because he knows me. But I can't pray with him. Listen, when I pray, I'm praying to the Father through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, when you pray, our Father which art in heaven. When a Hindu prays, who is he praying to? Ask him, who are you praying to? I don't know. One of the 300 million gods that I pray to. Well, which one are you praying to this time? Maybe we can kind of get an agreement here for a moment. You see? And you say, well, you know, you're judging. This is exactly the point. I'm not judging. Jesus says, this is the way it is. And people will say, that is not tolerant. Jesus nowhere came on the scene and says, you, all of you, believe in me and do it now. I'll give you 5 minutes. No. He just said, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to go do. And this is where I'm going. Take it or leave it. It's your choice. You know God is pro-choice? Did you know that? He's pro-choice. It's man who is not keen on the ramifications of his choice. See, we want choice, but we don't want any fallout from the wrong choice. I want the freedom of choice. Okay, choose. Are you sure? Yeah, go ahead. This door, you fall into a pit. This door, you know, you win the car. And this door, you know, you get eaten by a lion. You're all for choice? Choose. Oh, you mean there could be immediate ramifications for my choice? Yes, it's called responsibility. So what are you going to do? You'll pray to the God of the universe before you open the door. You're going to seek greater and more lofty wisdom than your own, you know. But we cannot commune. Paul says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? What fellowship, if the Holy Spirit dwells within us, what fellowship do we have having fellowship with God and with Satan? He says, none, it's impossible. I understand Mormonism. I don't agree with it. I understand it. I studied it. I know it. But I cannot pray with my Mormon friends because they're praying to Adam.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the first 6 verses of 1 John chapter 4, where the Apostle John tells the reader, do not be deceived. And in this day and age, that means not falling prey to political correctness and redefining the word tolerance. It's all part of a miniseries called Living in the Days of Deception. Living in the Days, D-A-Z-E, of Deception. It's part of Pastor Jack's larger collection of lessons taken from this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a quick reminder that every Monday night on hischannel.com, you can catch the latest Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, where Pastor Jack deals with just that, real life issues and topics, but through the lens of Scripture. Topics like international affairs, that includes Israel and her predominantly Islamic neighbors, prophecy, including past and future, politics and government, the military, and a whole lot more, all from a Judeo-Christian worldview. So check it out when you get a chance, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, one of our weekly television programs. It airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock Pacific Coast Time on hischannel.com. In fact, we've got a link to it at our own realradioactive.org, so go visit that if you would. Our telephone number, should you like to get a hold of us at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.